All right. Good morning. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. We're glad you've decided to tune in to today's church service. I can't wait till we get back to some more normality. It's kind of weird looking around here at, the odd tech team. I think we're all sick of each other. Actually, we're not, because we don't see each other very much. So actually, I look forward to this because it's the most community you get. So we're glad that you've tuned in today, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're just going to jump right into God's word today, all right? So let's pray, and we'll begin. Lord, thank you for another day, another Sunday. As Christians, we always, every Sunday, ought to be reminded that the first day of the week, resurrection, and we just look forward to that day where you return, look forward to heaven. God, I pray that today, as we just take a few minutes, look into your word, I pray if there's someone that's dealing with pain in their life, and Lord, I'm pretty sure that's pretty much most everybody. Lord, I pray that the choices we make in light of our pain would be ones that are pleasing to you and ones that would bring us to a place where we're closer to you. Thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning we're going to be in Psalm chapter number 61. Psalm chapter number 61, if you have your Bibles, I hope you're gathered around there in your living room or wherever you are. And I'm sure in your Emery, you probably didn't have to shave or anything like that. You're just looking all right, but that's all right. I can't see you. I did though. Any rate, we're going to look at today. Sorry, Emery, picking on you. I titled this morning's message, Pain and Choice. Pain and Choice. And really, I didn't intend on preaching on this passage at all. I was really working on something else that was kind of about the COVID thing and all those kind of things. But we'll hang on to that and we'll get back to that. But it's just been a difficult week here inside our church family. And I just felt very impressed by the Holy Spirit. He just brought me to this passage in Psalm 61. And I just want to share this. I don't know who it's for, but I know there's somebody out there. I know in our church family, there's been just a lot of pain this week in very, very deep levels. And so I came to this passage and just this idea of pain and choice. And as I was thinking about that this week, I had to bring in one of my favorite lines of all time. If all you folks out there that are Princess Bride fans, and I hope if you're not, you should be, one of the great classic movies of all time. And if you know that movie, you remember the spot where the man in black, the good guy, the man in black is the good guy. You remember how he finally gets his sweetheart back, but since he's been gone, she has been committed or engaged to the prince, and so he's kind of mad at her, and he's kind of giving her sarcastic remarks. And remember that line where she finally gets it up and says, "You mock my pain. Never do it again." And remember what Wesley says to her, and I have, Stephen has a picture up there for you, basically says, "Life is pain, Highness. And anybody who tells you different is selling something." And there's a lot of truth in that. And life is pain. And that really goes back to the beginning of our creation when everything was good, and then our great-great-grandparents chose sin and destruction, and pain entered into the human existence, and it has been that way ever since. And, if you're like I am and you've lived in this earth for a little while, the older you get, the more pains that you acquire and the more heartaches that you go through. As a child of God, I'll certainly tell you this, for me, it just makes me long for heaven a little bit more, matter of fact, a lot more. And so this morning, I want to read to you Psalm chapter 61. I'm just going to look at the first couple of verses today, all right? Psalm 61, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David, most people believe David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this passage or this psalm, and he begins this song with the phrase, "Hear my cry and attend unto my prayer." And in the Hebrew, the Hebrew words here are very strong, intensive words. It's very emphatic. It's a literal cry for help. I was thinking about crying, and we have a lot of parents in our church, of parents of small children, and You know, there's been a time or two that we hear crying here at the church. Matter of fact, I kind of miss hearing some crying here at the church. Pastor Cody, you know, we need Salek, you know, she come here, she's good at that. And, you know, Liam and Ray Ray and Benaya, you know, they're just some wonderful children. I kind of miss them crying. One of the things I remember as a parent that, in particular, my wife was much better at is we might be in a different part of the house, and all of a sudden from the other part of the house, wherever the kids are at, there's let out this scream. You know, a blood-curdling scream. And for me, I always, you know, of course, sometimes depending how good the football game was, I may or may not have gotten up. But if I went up in the other room, I was just going there and say, okay, there's a big scream, what's going on? But my wife, on the other hand, had a particular knack of knowing and discerning what type of scream was what type of scream. And all the moms out there going, yeah, I know. And all the dads are going, yeah, sounds just irritating to me. But you could tell the kind of scream where your child is really in a position of hurt and pain versus one where, you know, you come in the room and the little girl says, my little brother's an idiot, you know, kind of thing, you know, where they're mad that somebody's taken something that's there. And they violated their sovereignty, and so then there's this big conflict, and then they're screaming and all this. And all you moms know what I'm talking about. Well, this verse here is referencing how God, he understands the intensity of our cries. And as our Heavenly Father, when we cry, he hears. And so there's this plea on the behalf of David here, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. Now, the psalmist goes on to say that God hears our prayers and no matter even where we are. Notice he goes on in verse number 2 and says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. From the end of the earth. You know, one of those phrases, you know, I'm going to drive to the other side, to the end of the earth. You know, it just means far, far away. Now, I don't know how far David got. I suppose he couldn't get on a 747 and go somewhere. You know, he's referring to the fact that he's not in a location that he really would like to be, and he's far, far away. Most Bible commentaries believe that this psalm, Psalm 61, was written by David under the circumstances of when his son Absalom had rebelled against him and had stolen the heart of the people and gathered himself an army, I believe it was in Hebron, and got his army and took his army, was marching on Jerusalem to take the throne. And David, being led by God, instead of fighting his own son army against army at that spot and in the city of Jerusalem, instead David voluntarily abandons his throne and abandons what was dear to him at the tabernacle there in the area around Jerusalem, and he leaves. And when he leaves that location of where the tabernacle was and where his place was, and he went out into the wilderness, for David, that was the end of the earth. I'm in a different location now. And yet David recognizes that even when he's in this faraway location, no matter where you are, you can cry out to God. Now, I don't know if that could mean, you know, aren't you glad you can pray, whether you're, you know, over on the other side of the world, you're over in India or wherever, you can pray anywhere you want to be. Or where you are, but I think also even in terms of our walk with God and our life experience, there are times where I know that I've not really where I ought to be locationally, and yet I'm glad and thankful that when we are encountered with times of great pain, that God hears us no matter where we are. Matter of fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 55, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, be worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we have the privilege, no matter where you are, no matter where your location is this morning, wherever you find yourself, that God says you can cry out to me. Now, notice as we move on in our verse, I want to get to the core reason or the core motive for why was David crying out? What's the deal here? Now, notice what David says in verse number 2 as we go on in our text. When my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. Ever had your heart overwhelmed? You know, one of the things I've learned in going through life and have been around this planet a few times, gone around the sun a while, that there are times that the overwhelming issues of life just swamp me. And as we go through life, I remember back in my 20s or whatever, I went through battles, and it just seems like the longer you go in life, the deeper and harder the battles become. And I'd like to think, oh, I'll get used to this. It'll get easier, you know. Now maybe it gets to the point when you get to be an old guy like me, you just don't care about much anymore. But that might just be a man thing, you know. We just don't care. But life continues to hurt, and in many ways, the longer we go and the things we go through, the more overwhelmed that we feel. And I'm assuming, I don't think I'm taking a liberty here to say that I think all of us have. And maybe you're at a time right now where you just feel overwhelmed. You see, the reason for the prayer and the tears in verse number one is the pain that David was feeling of being overwhelmed. And I think you can imagine if the circumstances are right that the Bible scholars say, which does certainly this psalm seems to speak to that, that can you imagine being betrayed by your own son? And if you know your Bible very well, you know that David loved Absalom, loved him. And yet his own son turned his back on him and brought an army against him and would seek literally to kill him and take his throne. But as we go on in this passage, just this last phrase is the one that as I read that this week, and these are familiar verses, that the key to why David is called a man after God's own heart, why David is one of the Bible heroes. We know that David was not a perfect man. Maybe you don't know your Bible very well, you're a newer Christian, but you know about King David and so many things that are said about him and the good things, which he is. He's one of the great heroes of the Bible. But if you know your Bible very well, you know that he made some mistakes. He made some big mistakes. You know, he committed adultery. He planned a man's murder. He acted in pride and arrogance more than once. He had his issues. And yet, David says, when my heart is overwhelmed, here's this prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He acknowledges God can hear him. He cries out with that fervency of deep pain. And yet he recognizes that what his desire is or what his prayer to be answered is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I probably would have been there, God, you know, if you can hear me, get me my throne back. God, if you can hear me, change Absalom's thinking and change his behavior, that he would have a heart for you and that he would love his mother and his father like he ought to do. That's what I would have prayed for. But David's prayer is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He was in an involuntary location. He was at a place that he didn't really want to be, a place that he was pushed away from where he really desired to be. And maybe you find yourself this morning in a location in your life where you really didn't desire to be, but circumstances and people's choices that were beyond your own have pushed you to a place where you feel isolated from God and you feel overwhelmed. Can I encourage you today that if you want to be a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart and you want to see God work mightily in your life, we need to recognize that really the solution to your problem this morning is not necessarily a change in your circumstances. It is a change in your relationship with God. And David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, in the middle of his pain, in the middle of being overwhelmed, David made a choice. And that's why the title of our message this morning is Pain and Choice. That as I thought about it this week, there's a link that cannot be broken between the deep pain in our lives and the choices that we make. Because we'll all agree that every single one of us, to some degree, now there's degrees of variability, but all of us experience in our lives deep pain. And yet sometimes I think we either justify some choices we've made because, well, I was really hurting. The bottom line is the choices that we make when we are in pain are the choices that tend to be the most representative of where we really are. Now, let me soften that by saying every one of us in pain have made some poor choices. Every single one of us. And this is, to me, why David is such a Bible hero and somebody why we should be and why the Holy Spirit preserved this song for us to read and be reminded of when our heart is overwhelmed. Our desire by choice should be, let me know you more. He recognized, he said, God, lead me to the rock, you, that immovable fixture that is higher than I. David was here, and David recognized God's here. And oftentimes in my life, I want to say to God, and I do say to God, God, don't you understand what's going on here? Don't you see? And yet David made a choice to recognize that God was seeing things from a different perspective than he was seeing them. And oftentimes we become very arrogant in lecturing to God, and I have done this more than once, and yet what we need to be reminded is that God is at a vantage point. He's at a place that is higher than I am at, and maybe God is seeing some things that you don't see. He realizes and he acknowledges here that his solution to his problem is he needed more of God and not less of God. You see, at the point of our pain, when our heart is overwhelmed, that's when you and I make a choice in how do I want to be connected to God. Now, I know that all of us at time are going to ask the famous question, why God? And I wish I could give you an answer. And sometimes as a pastor, we feel a pressure and we go into circumstances that are just heart-wrenching. People look at us saying, why did God allow this? And I'm going to tell you, I'm one of these pastors going to say, I don't always know. Matter of fact, I seldom know. Some people will say, you know, they're well-meaning, but they'll say, you know, someone's in pain and there's some issue going on or some devastation in their life. And they're well-meaning, but, you know, they'll say, well, you know, this is what God ordained in your life. This is what God has called in your life. And they look at it and they say, because God is sovereign and so God determined that this was going to happen and he's going to do it for your glory. I don't know about you, but when I've been at times of pain, being told that God chose to allow fill in the blank doesn't make me really keen on liking God too much. And I'm going to tell you just personally from my theological presentation of scripture, and it's another sermon for another time, but it's something you want to talk about, be glad to, or Pastor Cody or Pastor Danny. But I don't believe that God gives people cancer. I don't believe that God does certain things, you know, that as a normative way of his behavior. And yes, God is sovereign and God can do things, but we as human beings make choices, and we broke this place. We broke this earth, and now we are living in the middle of it, and it comes along with some real legitimate pain. You know, some people will say this, and another one that, you know, I did a sermon series called I Don't Think It Means What You Think It Means. And a lot of times people will say in the middle of a real trial and pain, well, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle. And I understand the sentiments to that, and there's a perspective that I understand that we have God's power in our life, and, you know, Philippians 4:13, and, you know, we have the indwelling of the Spirit, and I get that. But, you know, usually the verse, if they know they may not quote the verse, but they know 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way escape that you may be able to bear it. And they say, see, God's not going to give you something more than you are able. And I think that doesn't really get to the tenor of that entirety of that verse. He's not saying there, God's not saying in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that he won't give you more than you are able. Because I would ask you right now, in your experience of your life, has there been times that you've gone through things where you've been on your knees or on your face before God, and you're telling God, I can't deal with this? Unless you've been really, really blessed and protected, I think all of us have heard some bad news or struggles, hurts, and it is more than you can handle. And then we remember all pastors like me saying, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. And then you're thinking to yourself, well, what's up with me? God doesn't seem to like me very good because he gave me something more than I can handle. That's not what this verse is teaching. There's no temptation that God's not familiar with because he came and lived in the middle of our pain and became pain took on all the pain for us. But God is faithful that he won't give you tempted more than you're able, but he says, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. There's the promise that no matter what you're in, there is a way of escape. In other words, that temptation, no matter how bad it is in your life, the reason that Satan wants to do this to you is the whole point is to get you divided from your Heavenly Father, or if you're an unbeliever, to have a wrong view of God in terms of his love and his care for you. And so at that moment in the deep point of your pain, you and I make a choice in how we evaluate what God has allowed in my life and who I think God is. And Satan uses it to say, well, this temptation, this issue, he wants it to destroy you. To destroy your walk with God, to destroy anything that you think of God and how God could ever take whatever you're dealing with and somehow do something with it. But the promise is, no matter what you're going through, God's promise is there will be a way of escape. Doesn't mean that you're going to get out of the hurt. Doesn't mean you're getting out of the circumstance. There's a way that you can make a choice that God can be so real in your life that you can deal with it. That's the promise. Matter of fact, I would tell you, if you're a child of God, fasten the seatbelts, dig deep down in your faith, because God is going to allow things in your life, in fact, that will overwhelm you. It's not that you won't have it. Trust me, you will. And part of that reason, as we'll see, is because that drives us to a position of choice. C.S. Lewis, one of the great thinkers of this modern era, I think Allie put a slide up here for us, or Stephen, you and Allison don't look anything alike. This is his quote: God whispers in our pleasure, but shouts in our pain. And there's a lot of truth in that. When everything's going great and we're in life of pleasure, you know, we're just out doing our stuff. It's amazing to me how when these overwhelming events of life come, now we're looking for God. And while I think if you're going to find the way of escape more consistently, you better develop that relationship. But I'll tell you one thing. It's been some of the real painful events in my life where I have made the critical choice. Am I going to continue to trust God and go towards him? Or am I going to go my own way? You know, I know you're out there, if you're listening, there are those of you, you're saying this out loud or you're thinking it. You'll say, I'm in the middle of my hurt, I'm overwhelmed, and I cry out like the psalmist, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. And I don't hear nothing. Crickets. God seems to be a million miles away. And again, I'll tell you that you're not alone in that experience. You read the Psalms, this wonderful book of the Bible, you'll read Psalms that the same man, human agency that God used David to, the Holy Spirit used David to write, where he says things like, how long, God, are you going to let the enemies just do whatever they want? How long, God, are the wicked going to prosper and they do the wrong things and they're blessed? How long, God, till you're going to finally respond to me? You're not alone in that. And yet, this is why David prays in this prayer. Don't miss this. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He doesn't say, oh, I know where that rock is, so I know that path I'm going to go. No, David says, lead me to the rock. In other words, I don't know where it is, where you are. Right now, Lord, you seem a long way away from me. I don't even know how to find you. And really, the life of faith, the Christian life, that we all would say, what's the life of faith? Well, what does that mean? Most of the time, it means walking through life in the dark. In other words, if you can't see, if we turned all the lights off in here and if I brought some of you in here, some of you that only come Christmas or Easter or never come here at all, we taped up all the windows and made it pitch dark in here, and I said, well, give you a real short amount of time to find some part of the auditorium, the back doors or something. I brought you in the front. Most of you would probably struggle. But if you followed me, I've been in here a lot. Even when Oscar and the guys move the cameras around, unless they do it to me in the dark and they don't tell me, then I'd be in trouble. But when you're walking through your life and it's very, very dark, who are you going to turn to listen? That's when we need to say, Lord, I don't see, I don't understand why this is here. And God will call you and say, move here, take a step here, get into my word, be obedient and yield yourself to the promises and to the things I've commanded you to do, and just take one step at a time, and I'll get you here. See, faith is really a choice just to believe God, to believe his word. Ultimately, it's a choice to believe in the very character of God. See, in my illustration, if I brought you into this room and there was a bunch of dangerous locations in here, if you stepped on it, it was going to cause you great pain, you'd probably really hope my character was good, because there's some people here, you know, like Pastor Cody, I'd probably direct him right to some place where he stepped on a mousetrap, you know, in his bare feet, you know. Ouch! And I'm going, oh, did I tell you to go to the left? Oh, yeah. You know, you would be trusting, well, I think Pastor Ken really wants to get me through this. And if you didn't trust me at all, you probably wouldn't come in the door. You'd stand there and, I don't know, you'd just be frozen. That, in a nutshell, is life. When we go through severe pain and we have an overwhelmed heart, your choice is to go to God or away from God, to trust God or to blame God. Now, which is it? When it comes to our deepest pain, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. We don't tend to stay on the fence. Now, again, every believer who's gone through overwhelming times has cried out and questioned God. I already showed you how David himself did it. I'm not sitting here saying you have to be some perfect Christian that just says, you know, well, thank you, God, for this trial, and I understand you're going to make something good out of it. No. Be honest with God. He can handle it when you tell him that you feel like, God, I feel like you've left me in this. But at the end of all your whining and complaining, which sometimes is very therapeutic, we need to tell God. He knows anyway. It's good to put it out there and voice it. But at the end of it all, when it gets all said and done, you say, but, God, I still believe that you got this and that your way is best. And God, I pray that you would lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, I thought about some illustrations through Scripture. I thought about maybe there's somebody listening today and you've got family pain. In other words, there's relationships inside your family that are very, very hurtful. You feel betrayed. Maybe you would identify with Joseph in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, betrayed by his brothers. Remember, they were going to kill him, then they threw him into a pit, then they sold him into slavery, and then he ends up in Egypt, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And all of the pain in the early part of his life was really all rooted at the choices of his brothers. And yet, Joseph made a choice while he was in the pit, while he was in the prison, that you meant it unto evil, but I believe that my God is going to mean it unto good. And all of us want to be like Joseph at the end of the story, where he's the vice president of Egypt and he's got all this power. We all like that part of the story. But he chose to trust God in the area of forgiveness. How about Job? Boy, Job is a guy who knew all the whole gamut of pain. I don't think there's any type of pain you could imagine that Job didn't know. And one of those is physical pain. You know, he had all the sores all over him. The Bible says he had to scrape off the sores. And many of us who are listening to the sound of my voice, God has allowed in your life some deep physical pain. And as somebody who knows a little bit about that, I can tell you that in the darkness of those nights are when I cry out as verse number one to God, and I tell him I don't think it's fair, and why me, and you know, all these things. And yet I think about Job, that in the midst of his pain, when he lost his family, he lost his health, he lost his money, and yet he still chose God. And the book of Job is a wonderful book where he goes back and forth with his friends trying to figure things out. And at the end of it all, what did Job need? And when Job gets confronted with God at the end, what Job recognizes he needed was a clearer vision of God. He needed to see and go to the rock that was higher than he was. Some of you are dealing with emotional pain, and I think about David. You remember when he committed the sin with Bathsheba, and there was a little baby, and God chose to take that little baby home. People say, why did God do that? Well, again, God's got a vantage point that we don't have, but certainly David's actions played a part in that. And we live in a culture where people make choice all the time to end human life. And while David goes through this, he prayed and prayed, and there were several days that the baby's life was hanging in the balance. And you know the story that David cries out to God, and the baby eventually, God brings the baby home to heaven. And can you imagine being David, knowing that that innocent little life, one of the reasons that God brought that child home was because of the choices that David made. Imagine living with that kind of guilt. I'm sure there are folks listening under the sound of my voice. Maybe there's a lady listening, and you made the unfortunate choice to go ahead with an abortion, and you made a choice. And now you recognize that it was not a good choice. And you're thinking, oh, there's no hope for me. God can never use me. Well, he did David. David found forgiveness. David knows that kind of pain. And yet we know what David's heart was like in that situation, because we know that Psalm 51 is a psalm that David wrote after he'd been confronted with his sin. And boy, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. And remember what David cries out to God in Psalm 51. He says, create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David's prayer was, God, don't take your presence from me. I'm even in the middle of my pain and my guilt. I'm going to choose repentance. I'm going to recognize I did the wrong thing. I'm going to ask you, God, wash me thoroughly from my sins and cleanse me from all my sins. And he prays and craves after the presence of God in his life. And he says, God, when I have your presence back, I'm going to have renewed joy. I'm going to have my free spirit, where my life is going to, the presence, the wonder of my life is going to be restored. And he said, then in light of those things, I'm going to teach transgressors thy way. In other words, David said, I'm going to be used of you to say, hey, don't make that bad choice. But if you do make that bad choice, God still loves you. And there's repentance, and there's restitution and restoration in a relationship with God. But some of you, in the pain of your guilt, you've made the wrong choice. You know, David understood when he was led to the rock that was higher than him, because we know in the story, David, when the baby was taken home to heaven, David told the people around him, when he wasn't weeping anymore, they said, why are you not sad anymore? And David said, you know, God has chosen to bring this baby home. That baby can't come to me right now, but I shall go to him. David said, one day I'll go to heaven. And why, by the way, that's why I believe babies go to heaven. David said, I'll go there. And we're 2,000, some 3,000 years later. David's had a long time with that little child. That was a promise that now David has seen fulfilled. See, in the middle of his pain, he chose God. Maybe you're listening here today and you say, Pastor, I've got a pain and I failed in an area. You know, there's something I was trying to get done. Maybe even if it's a spiritual thing. Maybe you were working on something. You knew God was calling you to do some kind of ministry or whatever it was, and you failed. Maybe your hero ought to be Moses. Remember Moses, when he figures out that he's not Egyptian, but he's Hebrew, and he realizes that God is going to use him to deliver the people. And so Moses, in his confidence as the prince of Egypt, in his power, he said, I can deliver God's people, and I'll get them out of here. And when he saw the Egyptian soldier misusing and abusing an Israelite, you remember the story how Moses rose up and he killed that guy. And he thought this is going to be, okay, this is the start of the revolution. We're going to get these people out of here. And yet instead, God wasn't there, and he'd gotten ahead of God, and he'd done his plan in his own way, and he failed. And you know that the Pharaoh turned on him, and he got cast out of Egypt, and he lost his title. He lost his wealth. He lost his prestige, and he found himself all alone in the desert. Painful. And yet in the middle of that pain, you remember that God calls to him out of a burning bush and says, Moses. And what's Moses say to him? Hey, I can't do that. God, if anybody, you know I'm a failure. You know I can't do this. And he lists off all the reasons. And he says, who am I that I should go back to Egypt? I'm not good enough for that. But remember what God says to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 12. God looks at Moses and says, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this very mountain, Mount Sinai. God says, Moses, you will do it because I'm going to be with you. You will succeed, and I'm going to bring you right back to this place, to the rock that is higher than you are. I don't know if you've got family pain, physical pain, emotional pain, failure pain. But the Bible simply says in Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, the path to God in life, in the life of the believer, is through brokenness. Just as our path to eternal life is really through brokenness, through the brokenness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, entered into our suffering and pain, and took upon himself the sin of the whole world, endured the cross, died and rose again, that through his pain, through his suffering, that we can be born again, that we can make the exchange of our sinful pain, and we give it to God, and Jesus bore it on the cross, and that he gives to us, through simple faith, eternal life. The Bible is very clear, it's very simple, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever it is, believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you made that choice today, if you don't know him as your personal Savior? But how about it, Christians? What choice are you making in the middle of your pain? In the middle of that marriage that's destroyed? In the middle of that health battle? In the middle of the family issues? In the middle of your failure that you feel deep pain? What choice are you making in your pain? This week has been a really painful week in our particular church ministry, and some of the things I'm certainly not at liberty to share. It's one of the things about being a pastor. You got to keep your mouth shut, and sometimes you bear burdens with folks that are really, really painful. And then there are times where there are really, really painful ones that, you know, that for reasons that are, the right thing to do, you are aware. And earlier this week, one of the cutest little kids in our church, just a beautiful little girl, has been coming to church here since she's been born. She's, second or third grade now? And on the screen, I got a picture of little Abby, and she's there with her great aunt. This is Wanda. If Wanda's watching, this is her aunt, also one of the members of our church, and I just thought it was a good picture. I stole it off Sarah. I stole it off your timeline on Facebook. But that's little Abby. And I believe it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday morning. I think it was, right, Jen? Thursday morning. Her mom got up and was getting Abby dressed for the day and just happened to notice on Abby's leg, I believe, just a little bruise. And mom asked her, said, you know, how'd you get this? And Abby said, I don't know how I got this. And so mom happened to look around a little bit, and mom happens to be a nurse, practitioners in the medical field, and works actually in the area of oncology. And so that tripped a little trigger in Mama's brain, and Mama began to do a little more inspection and realized there were bruises all over Abby. And so she immediately called the doctor's office where she works and had Abby taken into the office there, and they ran some quick blood work and found out her white count was off the charts, and looked very much, and they were fairly certain that Abby has leukemia. And from there, sent to Children's Hospital, just a wonderful hospital here in Alabama, just really, really fine folks that work there at Children's, and for some more testing. And before the day was over, you know, got confirmation that this little girl, this beautiful little girl, is going to go through a battle with leukemia. And by the end of the day, I believe the next day, she began her first chemo treatments, and all that's going to be entailed with chemo treatments. And, you know, it's devastating. You know, you start out each day, and just like James wrote, we're like in the book of James, where James writes about, you say you're going to go to such a city, and you're going to buy and sell and get gain, and you're going to come back. And, you know, and James rebukes them and, you know, tells them, you make those kind of assumptions. And yet, I know I'm guilty of it. I do it all the time. You get up each day and you just assume this is how your day is going to go. But the reality is, we don't know what each day brings forth. I'm fairly certain that Thomas and Kristen, this would be Abby's mom and dad, did not anticipate that Thursday morning getting up and dealing with what they dealt with on that day. I don't have words. I know Abby's parents fairly well, enough to know that they would definitely say, let me take this and not my child. God, let me have it. And yet, for whatever reason, here we are. And one day in your life, when you encountered this kind of pain, it's amazing how it can change your perspective. How you begin to look at things differently. What things are really, really important and what is not. And the doctors, after doing all this stuff, have given Abby, she's a strong little girl, and the doctors are given a really good prognosis, and we're believing and praying. We'd certainly ask you to pray for little Abby that this cancer would be removed, whether God divinely does it or whether through the medical process. But I think things are looking, you know, that she's going to fight this fight, and we're confident she's going to win. But having spent, I've been to children's in the cancer ward more than once. Not every family that's on that hallway has been given that kind of news. And the question is, where is God? Sometimes that's really hard to answer. But the reality is. And in those moments of the deepest pain is when you and I are going to make a choice. And this morning, my plea to you from God's word is, I'm not trying to sit here and say that you're not going to say things to God, that you're going to be very raw. I've already told you, I think you should. But what I am saying is, you're going to make a choice about who you believe God really is, what kind of character he has, and you're going to make choices in your walk with him accordingly. And I just want to encourage you to listen to the words of David, who understood a little bit about pain. That his prayer was, not change all the circumstances, but God, help me to get a clear picture and trust that the vantage point that you have, that somehow, some way, you're going to make it all work out. You know, in the last couple weeks here in Alabama, about every other week or so, we've had some really nasty storms. We've had some loss of life. We had, matter of fact, here on the church property, we had a huge tree limb come down on our neighbor's property and crushed his poor little shed. And when the storm front comes through, you can see it coming through, and then the wind blows and the hail and the rain, and, you know, you're hunkered down in your house and watching your barbecue grill blow across the yard, whatever it is, you know. But this week we had one of those bad storms. And it was kind of interesting that it happened later in the afternoon. It was like 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And I have a picture here that I have put up on the screen. A picture that I took probably 30 minutes after a really bad storm. And it was amazing how in a really short amount of time, the clouds cleared, the sky became kind of that beautiful blue, and the sun was setting and just lighting up the remainder of the clouds. And I don't know if you've ever gone for a walk right after a storm. The air is cleaner. It's crisper. There's a calmness. You see, one of the things about the storm is it tends to blow away all the pollen that was flooding the air, and the rain clears it out. And there's a clarity that you have that you didn't have before in the middle of the storm. And I would just tell you, in the middle of your deep pain, when the winds are blowing and the rain is coming down, shelter down there in the cleft of the rock. Tell God how you feel. Let God bring you through. And I'm telling you, on the other side of the storm, there'll be some clarity. There'll be some Christmas. There'll be some freshness. And you'll enjoy some sweet, sweet fellowship with God. Let's pray and close the service today. Lord, I thank you for the teaching of your word. Lord, I pray that for those who are walking through a valley of some deep pain today, Lord, may they know that you are there. Lord, I understand they may not feel you. They may not see your hand. But God, I pray by just simple faith they would trust. Lord, I pray for those of us around that see our brothers and sisters in pain that we would fulfill your command to love one another, to do good, especially under those of the household of faith, that we would not sit on the sidelines, but we'd speak words of encouragement and do acts of love to encourage our brothers and sisters as they walk through times of pain. But Lord, sometimes we're called to carry very private pain. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, if there's one listening today on our broadcast that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that one of the reasons they don't want to come to you is because they've been involved in a lot of hurt and unfair things in their life. Lord, may they realize that you loved us enough not to run away from the pain, but to come and enter into it and to offer forgiveness and restoration and peace to all who simply believe you for eternal life. Lord, I pray they'd make that choice today. Lord, help us to walk in peace. Help us to love one another in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And if you have any questions, comments, anything we can help you with, contact us on our Facebook page or send us an email. We're glad that you've tuned in. And as I like to say, as we leave out, I'll either see you here or I'll see you there. And God bless you. Have a wonderful week.